Welcome to your SmackDown recap. Here it is, the SmackDown post show for Friday, July 19th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. That clip you heard there was from the SmackDown review 2 weeks ago. It was actually before Money in the Bank when I told you guys that I had heard that Seth Rollins was penciled in to be the special guest referee at SummerSlam for Drew McIntyre against CM Punk. And this is before Rollins had even had his World Heavyweight Championship match with Damian Priest. Then I saw the Wrestle Votes today, had a little report about their source telling them that Seth Rollins is going to be the guest referee at SummerSlam. We saw Uncle Dave in the newsletter today wondering, theorizing that maybe Rollins will be the referee at SummerSlam. Yes, Dave. I don't need Dave to be guessing. That is what we are going to get at SummerSlam, and I would imagine we'll get the official announcement of that on Raw this Monday night. We shall see. But I did get a nice little chuckle out of seeing these reports pop up today as if nobody even knew. But that's why, man. That's why you got to tune into these streams. You never know what you're going to hear here on these streams. I'll tell you what we're going to talk about, though. We got to talk about the ending to SmackDown tonight. You know, if you saw the ending for SmackDown last week, and if you saw the ending for SmackDown 2 weeks ago, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture that in your head. I want you to picture the Bloodline putting a beat down on somebody, and I want you to picture the Bloodline putting somebody through the announce desk, Paul Heyman, Randy Orton. And if you can visualize that and get that image in your head, then you saw the end of SmackDown tonight. Because it was more of the same from the Bloodline, only this time it was Cody Rhodes, the WWE champion, going through the table. We had Kevin Owens back on the show tonight, and Kevin Owens was also left laying by the Bloodline. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? They are trying their hardest to make the Bloodline look as much of a threat, as credible as they possibly can going into SummerSlam. I understand why. Not even saying that it's the wrong thing for them to do, but what it does is it makes for boring television when you do the same angle over and over and over again. So SmackDown tonight, when they went off the air, it just felt like more of the same because that's what it was. And this is what we're getting here. This is what we're going to continue to get until we get to SummerSlam. As they try to build up Solo Sikoa as a believable threat to Cody Rhodes for the WWE title. There are people who will simply not buy into him at all as a threat to the title. But if that's the match they're doing, then they have to try. And this is their way of doing that. How do they do that? By taking out the top baby faces on the brand. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. This is how they go about doing it. But there was a sameness to it. Can't get excited about this. And the show itself really was nothing special tonight. We do have a United States title match now official for SummerSlam. The contract has been signed. We got an actual appearance from the United States champion. We don't get to see him very often here on this show. How very nice of Mr. Crypto Zoo to make an appearance here on SmackDown. So we'll talk about that. And we had an interesting segment with Bayley and Nia Jax as they prepare for their women's title match coming up at SummerSlam in a couple of weeks as well. We'll go through all of it. This is your Friday night SmackDown review. As I mentioned here, for Friday, July 19th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Let's get into this show here because I mentioned Cody Rhodes. We saw him at the end of the show. He was in the main event tonight, but he was also at the beginning of the show. So we're going to start there. The WWE champion himself, Cody Rhodes, coming to the ring for a promo. The last time we saw him before tonight, he was tied up in the ropes, could do nothing but watch as the Bloodline laid a beatdown on Randy Orton and put him through the announce desk. All Cody could do is stand there and watch. So Cody walked up to somebody in the front row. As he walked around ringside, he walked up to Terrence Crawford. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it was Terrence Crawford. Holy shit. Yeah, I didn't know who that was. But Corey Graves was, he was very excited to let all of us know that Terrence Crawford was in the... I mean, so excited we got Bree mode here. But Terrence Crawford was in the front row and gave Cody a fist bump. Corey Graves freaked out and called him the pound for pound number one boxer in the world. I'll take his word for it. And then they plugged his next fight. Funny enough, his next fight airs the same night as SummerSlam. So I will not be watching his fight. I'm a little busy that night, as I'm sure everybody else is here. Cody asked the fans in Omaha what they wanted to talk about. Started with Randy Orton. Thanked Randy for what he had done for him in the past and said that he would not be here without him. He asked the crowd to imagine the guilt that he felt watching the Bloodline put Orton through a table, given his previous back injury, his spinal surgery, 18 months on the shelf, and all he could do was stand there and watch, helpless to do anything about it. He called Randy his brother, said, you know, he may not be family by blood, but he's his brother. And then he turned his attention to Solo Sikoa. Cody said that he had told Solo in the past, even before WrestleMania 39, which is the first time that Solo spiked him and cost him the WWE title. He had told him even before WrestleMania that year that he wasn't ready. And even though he had cost Cody the world title in the past and he had taken over the Bloodline recently, he was standing here tonight and telling Solo again that he is still not ready. As he was saying this, he's interrupted by Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. They interrupted him in mid-sentence. Theory said that because of Cody, Jacob Fatu attacked him last week. His cheek is still swollen. And Cody said, well, I thought that that was because your own partner needs you in the face. So Waller said the reason that Theory got attacked last week is because of Cody. And the reason that his mentor and his friend got hurt last week was because of Cody. So we got some what chants here. They quickly died out. Cody heard enough. Probably heard enough of those fucking chants. But he can't beat up the fans and the crowd, so he did a little beat down here on these two instead. They quickly overwhelmed him. Cody ended up outside up against the barricade when Terrence Crawford stood up and handed him a chair. And Cody took the chair inside the ring. He hit Waller with it. Then he threw the chair to Theory, who caught it and had to stand there and hold it like an idiot as Cody took his time jumping onto the middle rope to come off with a disaster kick and kick the chair right back at his face. It's just silly, you know. Look at this. I have a chair in my hand. I wonder what's about to happen to me. Yes, you're going to eat the chair. That's exactly what happened. Not much of a segment. It set up the main event of the show, though, because in the very next segment backstage, Cody confronted Nick Aldis and said, I want them in the ring. And Aldis said, look, you can't have them by yourself. You got to find a tag team partner. I'm going to give you until the end of the night to find one. Randy, though. Randy is his brother, he says. And again, he watched his brother get destroyed last week and did nothing to stop it. That first match of Bad Blood should be fun. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton coming up in Bad Blood. That's my early prediction. Because honestly, I'm not sure who else Cody would even work with. I mean, you almost have to go to the feud with Randy Orton in the next few months because there really just isn't anything else that's terribly interesting for Cody Rhodes to be doing on the show. And once Roman Reigns comes back, I mean, all the attention, the spotlight is going to be on him and the Bloodline anyway. Cody is going to need something to really sink his teeth into story-wise. And there is no better story to be told right now on SmackDown than Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton with the history that those two have. We had Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. Now, if you remember, last week on the show, this was set up by a segment earlier in the day. Andrade was being interviewed in an empty arena, and Carmelo Hayes showed up, and he wanted the spotlight to be on him. It was a very simple setup to this match. So we had Carmelo Hayes against Andrade, and, you know, again, coming into this, both men felt like they needed this win. Andrade, right, needs to get something going here. Carmelo Hayes needs to get something going. They both felt like they needed the win, and so it gave the match an air of unpredictability to it, because honestly, it could have gone either way. You know, Andrade right now is the speed champion. Carmelo Hayes is still going around talking about how he was the number one draft pick. I could have seen this match going either way. What we ended up with was a really good match that got the crowd into it in a big way, even bigger than I thought. Hayes and Andrade, they battled on the top rope. Andrade executed his missed moonsault into the standing moonsault. Got a great reaction and got him a good near fall. Both men traded some more strikes until Andrade got the spinning back elbow for another near fall. He went to the top. He jumped right into a first 48, but Andrade kicked out. Hayes went to the top. He missed nothing but net. And from there, Andrade, he got him in a tilt-a-whirl, set him right back down and right into position for his finish. The message, the twisting double underhook driver, and he planted him on the mat and pinned him to win the match. I thought it was a good sign just how into this match the fans got. You know, these are two undercard talents that have not been established on the main roster for very long. And with Andrade, I know he had a past in this company, but I'm not even counting that. Yeah, they haven't done much with him on television. Carmelo Hayes is still relatively new to SmackDown. He's still relatively new to the main roster. Has not really been fully established yet. I didn't know how the crowd was going to react to it. But they reacted big, you know, in those final few minutes. And Andrade now has strung together some wins. You know, he had a win on TV a couple months ago over Apollo Crews. He picked up the win in that triple threat qualifier for Money in the Bank a few weeks ago. He was in the Money in the Bank match and had some spotlight shown on him there as well, even though he didn't win. He's the speed champion, whatever the hell that's worth. And now another win here. So you could see he's been stringing together. He's not consistently on the show every week, but he's strung together some wins over the last couple of months. And he's been featured even at the last PLE. So hopefully for him, that means they can parlay that into an interesting story for him. Because it's one thing to give him wins on TV, but at some point, he needs to be involved in an interesting storyline. What that's going to be, I don't know. I don't know who he would feud with right now. It could be that he's going to feud with Carmelo Hayes, and tonight was the first in a series of matches. You know, to me, that would be fine. If this was just the first in a whole group of matches that they're going to end up having together, you know, that could be something. But it's good to see him at least stringing together some wins.
I am the learning tree.
Zizou.
Thanks, guys.
Says he had to. You really didn't, but thank you, Zizou. For the $12 learning tree.
I am the learning tree.
That's $24.
Thanks, guys.
That's $24. NWO Matt, man, Matt loves the learning tree. I think Matt's going to plant a tree in his front yard at this point. He's a big environmental guy. He's planting trees every single week. I mean, I love it. Keep them coming. But thank you. Thank you all. I mentioned Bayley and Nia had a segment on this show. They were not in the same place at the same time for it. We got the split-screen interview with the two women who were wrestling one another for the WWE Women's Championship coming up at SummerSlam. We had Bayley on the right. We had Nia Jax on the left. Corey Graves started asking Nia a question and got cut off. Nia told us to start feeling sorry for Bayley right now. Because at SummerSlam, she's going to put her down like an old, sick dog and take her title. Bayley said that Nia hasn't changed in the 10 years that they've known each other. And Nia insisted that she has changed. And Bayley said that Nia is the same heartless woman she always was, the same Nia who took her out of her SummerSlam match in 2017, which changed the trajectory of her career. Nia hurt her because she's big, she's clumsy, and she's reckless. To be fair, she was definitely reckless back then. There's no lie there. Nia said that she's coming for that title because she gets to take it off of her. Bayley said that if Nia is telling the truth that she has changed so much since 2017, then she has too. Nia is not the only one who's undergone some changes. She says she's walking out of SummerSlam with the title, and there's not a damn thing that she can do to stop her. And this annoyed Nia. Nia asked, are we done here? And she pulled off the microphone, and she left, and that was the end of the interview. all this talk about Bailey, and this is not the first time she's brought it up. I think she brought it up last week. All this talk about Bailey's injury from 2017. For those who don't know, she suffered a separated shoulder in a match on Raw that she had, it was a few weeks before SummerSlam, and it was a match she had on Raw against Nia Jax, and she separated her shoulder, and I had forgotten, honestly, about how sad that she sounded when I interviewed her, because I had the chance to interview Bailey on the red carpet at one of the 2K premieres, I think it was 2K18. And I interviewed her about the injury. It was right after it happened. And I actually pulled a little bit of footage of that interview, and I want to show it to you right now.
Here with the former Raw Women's Champion, Bayley. I'm sure this is a bittersweet weekend for you.
Yeah.
Any update on the injury?
I just had my second day of physical therapy today, which is amazing because this guy, like, you can see the bruising. He, like, did the scraping, which breaks down all the tissues and the muscles and stuff. So it's actually been nice to kind of, like, move my arm. Like, I haven't been able to put my own hair up or to work out or anything, so it's kind of nice to do that. I know it's still going to have, like, a long road a little bit. I'm lucky there's no surgery or anything like that, but it's pretty painful going through the physical therapy, which I wasn't expecting it to be. I know it's mentally messing with me, and it's kind of, I wish I was wrestling on Sunday, but I don't know. I'll be okay. I got to get through it.
That was tough timing for her on that injury, too, because, again, she was heading into a Raw Women's Championship match with Alexa Bliss at that SummerSlam show. And I spoke with Alexa Bliss that night, too. As it turned out, Alexa Bliss ended up defending her title against Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks beat her for the title. Here's the thing about this segment here that I'm not entirely sure about this segment that we had here in the split screen. Why are they resurrecting the argument, bringing it up at all, really, that Nia hasn't changed and she was clumsy and she was reckless? Because she was clumsy and she was reckless back in 2017. I don't think she was ready at that point to be on the main roster. She's one of these people who could have benefited from spending more time down in NXT. But because she had a very unique look and they wanted to, you know, for her to be the monster in the women's division, they called her up earlier than she really should have been. And so all of those things, I think, were valid criticisms about Nia in 2017 and probably 2018. I mean, I guess it was even during the pandemic shows, right? Where she, I feel like she was killing people then. She almost killed poor Kairi Sane, I think it was. Ever since Nia came back, though, this run that she's been on this year, she's had noticeable improvements from the way she was back then. Like, this really is not the same Nia Jax that we saw back in 2017. So I'm not really sure why you would want to, you know, even bring that up again and use that as an argument against her. And again, you know, in this segment here, she said that she has changed, right? But I don't hear anybody making those same critiques about her today, right? There might be people who don't like Nia Jax, so they think she's boring, or she's not that good. But I've seen noticeable improvements in her from where she was even a few years ago. And I'm just not sure why you would want to resurrect those criticisms. Because it doesn't really seem to apply right now. Like, you could have had Bailey make mention of the 2017 injury and how it affected her career in a negative way. And she never forgot about that. And, you know, Nia never apologize for it, or she was gleeful about, like, there's ways that you can bring it up without resurrecting these arguments about her being reckless and all this stuff, which honestly she isn't now. So that's a little confusing to me. I'm not really sure why they're using that as kind of a go-to argument here in this feud. But we go to the back, and Jade Cargill is in the back with Bianca Belair. And they were walking backstage. They ran into Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Called them both losers. And both teams wanted to speak to Nick Aldis. They were standing outside of his office. And Bianca challenged Chelsea to a match. And just like that, we were off to the ring for a singles match between Bianca Belair and Chelsea Green. This did not even go a full minute. did not even go 60 seconds before Chelsea worked out of a KOD into a roll-up. Bianca rolled her up and got the win. Kind of odd to see Bianca needing a roll-up to beat Chelsea Green. That was kind of weird, but I think it took about 55 seconds, and that was all she wrote. This felt like a gigantic waste of time, which is exactly what this was. Jade celebrated in the ring with Bianca when Alba Fire and Isla Dawn popped up on the video screen, and Isla said that they would give them a glimpse of their titles next week. But as for their request for a rematch for the women's tag team titles, they said, we'll see. By the way, I saw somebody mention it in the chat. I actually forgot about that. I believe they are taping another episode of SmackDown. So as we speak, they may be taping next week's show. And I think that's because next weekend, I believe, they're going to be in Japan. They have a couple of dates in Japan, and they're going to be flying over there. So that's why I think they're doubling up on shows tonight. I forgot about that. So just for anybody out there who likes to avoid spoilers for the show that follows, usually when they tape them like this, they are taping it in advance. So just be aware of that. So Nick Aldis was in the ring. You got these teams waiting outside of his office. I don't know what the hell they're waiting for if he's not in there. But Nick Aldis was out to the ring for the next segment. Thank you, David. Always love hearing from David. If what you had heard 2 weeks ago regarding Rollins being the guest referee at SummerSlam comes true, it's no longer all hail Gunther. It is all hail Solo. Have a good one, brother. Thank you, sir. You remember, I wasn't even going to tell you guys that night. I was going to wait because I feared that I might spoil some stuff for you. And then I was bullied by you, not you, David, but I was bullied by you people into telling you. So you got it out of me. I was going to wait until my money in the bank review. I'm actually glad I didn't wait. But anyway, David, thank you. I appreciate that very much. As I was saying, Nick Aldis was in the ring to introduce LA Knight and Logan Paul for a contract signing for a United States Championship match for SummerSlam. So Knight was out first, then came the champion. Before Aldis could speak, Logan Paul grabbed the microphone and he asked, why would I give this Sons of Anarchy, Larry the Lobster-looking dude a title shot? Knight said that maybe he shouldn't, but every time they've been in the ring together, he has cooked him. And he's also pinned him to qualify for Money in the Bank. He said he wanted to do that again, only this time he wanted to do it for the U.S. title. And he addressed LA Knight, Logan Paul did. He referred to him as Sean. Ooh, okay, now things are getting real. When you start busting out the real names, okay, Sean Ricker is his real name. When you start busting out the real names, that's when shit's getting serious now. So he accused LA Knight of having his entire life revolve around his accomplishments in the ring, and he has no accomplishments in the last 20 years to speak of. He talked about his accomplishments, Logan's accomplishments, away from WWE. He said that the name Paul echoes through the zeitgeist of culture. He called Knight a gym rat with a spray tan that wanted to be The Rock. And he said his catchphrase bodybuilder thing, though, was a good gimmick. And Knight sarcastically replied that I've never heard that one before, you know, about the Rock crack. Kevin Nash was very eloquent about that when he was ragging on LA Knight about imitating the Rock. Look, I said it from the moment I first heard him cutting promos that it was clear who his influences were. You could just hear it in his voice, his mannerisms. Austin and The Rock. Like, you could just tell by watching him on the microphone that he grew up a fan of the Attitude Era. Like, that's the era that he grew up in as a big fan, and those are the guys that he was trying to, I don't know if even imitate is the right word, but drawing inspiration from. Like, this is not a new thing. And it's not an invalid criticism either, but as he pointed out here, he said to Logan Paul, you know, you're using old material. Because this has already been said before. He brought up Logan's brother Jake and said that he wasn't afraid to step into the ring with Mike Tyson, yet Logan is afraid to get in the ring with him. And he told Logan, I guess balls don't run in the family. So that right there, that comment is what really bothered Logan Paul. He asked the crowd if they wanted the match. They said, yeah. He said he would say that he would take everything that Knight had, but he really doesn't have anything to offer him. But he did finally sign the contract. And as he was signing the contract, he was still cutting a promo on him, and he said that he was going to draw a map on the back of the contract with the exact directions to the place where Knight could stick his dreams of being a WWE champion. So at that point, Logan left the ring, and he waited a few seconds until LA Knight turned his back, snuck back into the ring, tried a sneak attack. Knight almost caught him with a BFT, but Logan slithered away to the floor. So there was some good trash talking here from both these guys. They're both very good. This is right in their wheelhouse. Logan Paul's a very good promo. LA Knight's an excellent promo. Using his first name there, a little stiff shot by Logan. I thought they played well off of each other, and they saved the BFT for SummerSlam. They just teased it, right? Because you wanted to see him hit that move, but you don't give it to him now. You wait 2 weeks if you want to see that. I'm still not convinced. I mean, we'll see in 2 weeks, but I am still not convinced that they are going to change the title there. They should. They absolutely should. Because two title defenses in 8 months is inexcusable. I'm sorry, but it's inexcusable. I don't care. And you know, the idea behind it is, well, we'll put the U.S. title on Logan Paul. And then Logan Paul can, everywhere he goes, or every podcast that he does, right? The title is sitting right there. And, oh, it's great publicity for WWE. I don't see how this has really benefited WWE in any meaningful way, personally. 8 months and two title defenses. I don't care what celebrity you are or you think you are. Inexcusable. It's ridiculous. And I thought it was bad when Roman Reigns was only defending his title maybe 5 times in the course of an entire year. We got more out of him than we're getting out of Logan Paul. And for a while there, they were on the same show. We had 2 absentee champions on the show. This needs to come to an end. I don't know that it happens at SummerSlam, though. They might want to push it off until Berlin. Now, Knight was shown walking in the back after this, and he ran into Santos Escobar, who reminded Knight that he was in the Triple Threat Money in the Bank qualifier at Madison Square Garden a few weeks ago, and he didn't get pinned. So Knight said that, look, I got some free time before SummerSlam, and if Escobar wants to get in touch with him, Escobar's mom has his number. So we're going to get that match on the show next week. Brock and Roman nearly killed the WWE title, but that is the WWE title, says Joey. They aired a great video package to the song Pink Bubblegum by Scene Queen for Tiffany Stratton before her match with Mee Chin. I think she should be using that for her entrance music. Why not? Why not get some of the wrestlers using actual songs for entrance music? It'd be better than a lot of the shit that they're using now. Tiffany had Nia Jax in her corner holding her Money in the Bank briefcase for her. Mee Chin had control early on. Stratton rolled to the outside, and Mee Chin ran after her, but she ran into Queen Nia, who was holding court outside the ring. Stratton took advantage and hit her cartwheel into an Alabama slam on the floor. Man, her head. The way her head bounced off the mat outside on the floor, oof. Oof. Mee Chin put up a good fight. I mean, she got a lot of offense here, but when it looked like Tiffany was about to hit her prettiest moonsault ever, she got stopped in her tracks because she looked outside the ring, and what did she see? She saw Bayley, who came out of the crowd, and Bayley is standing right there. Nia ran after her with the briefcase, but missed and went hurtling over the timekeeper's barricade. Bayley grabbed the briefcase up off the floor and then started to beat the hell out of the Money in the Bank briefcase. She's slamming it on the floor. She's slamming it against the ring steps. She opens it up on the floor. She stomps on the hinges in the middle of it. I mean, she's beating this fucking thing like it owed her money. I have no idea what that briefcase did to her, but she looked like an absolute idiot here because even the announcers pointed out, just because you beat up the briefcase and try to destroy the briefcase does not negate the contract on the inside. There's still a contract for a championship match on the inside of that briefcase. Anyway, this all resulted in Mee Chin rolling up a distracted Tiffany Stratton for the 3 count, and then she went outside the ring to celebrate her win with Bayley. I don't see how this benefits Meechan at all. You know, winning a match like this has no real benefit for her. It was just a way to set up a tag team match for next week's show. I thought the finish was very stupid, though. I do wonder, though. I was watching her beat up the briefcase, and as stupid as it was, it did have me wondering if the reason that they did that is because they're setting up for Tiffany to get her own custom pink briefcase. Because I was calling Tiffany Stratton to win Money in the Bank as far back as probably March or April, and even then I said she's got to have that pink briefcase. And I'm kind of surprised that she hasn't already gotten one. Maybe that's what this was for. Maybe this she's going to show up next week now and have a pink briefcase with her. The only thing is, I think she's cashing in at SummerSlam. So to have a personalized briefcase made for her and for her to cash it in 2 weeks later would be a complete waste. I would think that they would want her to hold on to that for a while so they can market that and they can sell them on WWE Shop. I mean, they already sell Money in the Bank replicas on there. But a customized pink, like Tiffy Time briefcase, they could sell that shit, make a fortune off of it. So I don't know if that's why they shot that angle here doing that. If not, then I just thought Bayley ended up looking like an idiot. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You remember the days before autosave, when you'd be typing up a Word document, and then you would get hit with the dreaded blue screen of death, and you would lose all of your work? Probably not if you were using a Mac. But I remember that, and let me tell you, it was no fun. Hours of podcasts were gone just because I forgot to hit save. Well, that's what it's like to go online with that ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, it doesn't matter where it is, it could be your grandmother's house. What does she know about Wi-Fi security? If she's got a computer, she barely knows how to turn the damn thing on. Your online data isn't safe. With Granny or anyone else, any hacker on that network can easily gain access to your most sensitive data. You'd be surprised just how easy it is. Even a 12-year-old could do it. And that data could be worth a lot of money on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. What I love about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. You just fire up the app, tap one button, and boom, you're connected. And it works on all my devices, so I can carry that protection around with me wherever I go. And it's rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. When I was on the road in Tampa at the Royal Rumble this year, back in January, I had my laptop with me, and I was glad I had ExpressVPN installed at the Airbnb. My livelihood is on there. I spend a hell of a lot more to fix something on my car than I do for my ExpressVPN subscription. I need my car, so why wouldn't I look at my VPN as something just as important? Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. We went back to the dark room pre-taped promo with Solo Sikoa sitting at the head of the table, surrounded by the other members of the Judgment the Judgment Day. Wrong show. The other members of the Bloodline. Solo said, life is so good when you're the tribal chief. He said, life is also busy because of that, because he doesn't have a moment to himself. He wondered, who would step up to be Cody's tag team partner tonight? Who would step up and disrespect the Bloodline? He said, if you're on Cody's side, then you are an enemy of the Bloodline. He said, tonight better be a handicap match, or somebody is going to pay the price. Well, at least when he makes a threat, he follows through on that threat. I'll give him that. That's one of the things I used to criticize the booking of Bray Wyatt about. Bray Wyatt, he used to cut these promos, man. He would cut these dark promos. And then he would go out there and he would lose. It was the stuff of comedy. It's one thing to talk a big talk, but then you got to back it up. And he could never do it. At least Solo Sikoa, in their attempt to try to push him, he's making these threats, and he's going out there with the Bloodline week after week, and he's laying people out, and he's following through on those threats, so I'll give him that. Cody was shown walking backstage, heading to the ring for the main event, when Kevin Owens walked up to him, and he was taping up his fist. He said, I'll see you out there. And Owens was the first to head out to the ring for the main event, because Cody found himself a tag team partner. It was Cody Rhodes, and Kevin Owens against Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Now, I figured that we were going to get Kevin Owens back this week. It was to avenge the assault on Randy Orton last week by the Bloodline. I figured he was on the show. He was going to be back on the show this week. Maybe they would even set up for a match at SummerSlam with him and Jacob Fatu. Plus, he posted on social media, for those who may have missed it, he posted on, I noticed on Twitter the other day, a photo of his mom in the hospital saying that she kicked out. So that's great news. I'm very happy to hear that his mom is doing better health-wise. That's great to hear. So I was expecting that he was going to be back on the show this week. Cody fired up. He got the first hot tag to Owens. Owens came in and stomped a mud hole in Grayson Waller. Owens then went to the top for a swanton, but Waller got the knees up and tagged in Theory, who hit a rolling drop kick. When the show came back from its final commercial break, Waller and Owens were battling on the top rope, jockeying for position. Ultimately, Owens knocked him to the mat, and then he came flying off with a swanton. Cody got the hot tag back into the ring. He beat the hell out of Theory. Waller got a blind tag. Cody hit a DDT to Austin Theory. Waller ran in and landed a rolling face buster for a two count. There was a spot in here where Waller nearly hit Theory again, but this time Theory caught his leg before he could make contact, and he wasn't very happy about it. But Owens landed a stunner on Waller. Cody hit a crossroads on Theory for the win. So Cody and Kevin Owens are victorious. They're celebrating their win. They're embracing in the middle of the ring. They did not have a very long time to celebrate, though, because out comes the Bloodline. Here comes Solo Sikoa. Here comes Tama Tonga. And here comes Tonga Loa. There is no Jacob Fatu. Not yet. Cody wiped them out with a suicide dive in the ring. Tonga Loa got Owens up on his shoulders for what? I don't know. But Owens took a page out of Haku's playbook and tried to gouge his eyes out, or one of his eyes, not both of his eyes. So then Owens goes outside. He joins Cody in trying to put Solo Sikoa through the announce desk. They're going to give him a taste of his own medicine. When Jacob Fatu finally shows up, he attacks Cody, he attacks KO, put an end to that. He got Owens in the ring, and he delivered not one, not two, not even three, four corner-ass splashes to Kevin Owens. And again, all Cody could do was watch, because he's on the outside of the ring being held by the other members of the Bloodline, and all he can do is watch all of this carnage unfold. Fatu goes up to the top rope. He delivered a diving headbutt to Kevin Owens. Then he went outside to assist in putting Cody through the announce desk with the Shield triple powerbomb. Owens ended up outside. He had a chair wrapped around his neck, and Tama Tonga sent him face first into the ring post, which knocked the chair back into his throat. Down goes Kevin Owens. And yet again, SmackDown closed with Fatu placing the Ulafala around Solo's neck and with the Bloodline standing tall. I will agree, it is getting tiresome seeing the same ending to the show over and over again, but this is how they're building Solo Sikoa for SummerSlam, right? This is how they're giving this new Bloodline the credibility boost that they needed. This is how they're making them out to be a believable threat on this show. What they do is they go after the top names on the brand. They took out Paul Heyman, and ever since then, what have they done? They took out Randy Orton last week. This week it was Kevin Owens, and it was the champion in Cody Rhodes. And they still have 2 weeks to go. We have two more SmackDowns left to go before SummerSlam. I have a feeling. Now, look, we cannot rule out the possibility that Roman Reigns is back on the show next week. I still think it's SummerSlam. SummerSlam would make more sense to me. You have this big epic return on one of your biggest shows of the year. Can't rule out the possibility, though, he could be back before SummerSlam. I think there's a better chance, though, that we get Jimmy back. Remember, Jimmy Uso is still missing. And Jimmy Uso, the last we saw him, he was taken out by the Bloodline. He was taken out by Solo and Tama Tonga. If we get Jimmy Uso, let's say, back on the show next week, I'm not sure where in the SummerSlam picture he fits into. I don't know if they would want Cody going into that show at a handicap without any friends left to help defend him, and he's going in there by himself. That's a possibility as well. But I do think that Jimmy is on his way back soon, and it could very well be next week. Because, again, I don't see Roman coming back until SummerSlam, but we just can't have another 2 weeks of this. We can't just have another 2 weeks. I don't think we could have another week, let alone 2 weeks, of the same ending to the show. Of Cody Rhodes being laid out, or the Bloodline putting somebody through the announce table and then putting the Ulafala on and standing there. I mean, it's too much of the same already. And I'm not saying don't push them and don't keep them strong. Maybe go about it a different way. Maybe have them shoot some big angle in the back in the parking lot or something like that. I mean, everything they're doing is exactly the same as it was the week before. And that's where it starts to get very tiresome. With Roman Reigns coming back, though, a word of caution. We know Roman is coming back, whether it's next week or whether it's at SummerSlam. By SummerSlam, no later than SummerSlam, Roman Reigns is going to be back. And I think it's very important, knowing this, that Cody beat Solo on his own at SummerSlam. He beats him straight up. And then you have Roman Reigns come out for the inevitable confrontation when it's over with Solo Sikoa. Cody is going to be outnumbered by the Bloodline. We don't know what the status of Randy Orton is going to be for SummerSlam. We don't know what the status of Kevin Owens now is going to be for SummerSlam, if they're going to show up, if they're just not going to be there. We don't know. Roman coming out during the match to neutralize this new Bloodline and make it a fair fight with Cody and Solo, it's exactly what they did at WrestleMania. It's exactly what I pitched for WrestleMania. I said, what I don't want is you're going to have all these people coming out and they're going to help Cody win, right? No, if they come out to neutralize the threat and make it a fair fight, that's fine. And I could see Roman coming out, his music hitting, and him coming out during the actual match. And maybe that's what happens here. And if that's what happens at SummerSlam, that's fine. But he should not be doing anything that directly helps Cody Rhodes beat Solo Sikoa. Because, look, it would be incredibly stupid, I think, and it would make him look incredibly weak. And he's the champion. And you don't want to make your champion look weak. So that's not something that I would be doing. Cody needs to prove that what he said tonight, that was the key line in that opening promo on the show where he reminded Solo Sikoa of what he told him. Even before WrestleMania 39, when he said, you're not ready. You're not ready yet. So in light of all these angles where they're beating Cody down and they're tying him up in the ropes and they're making him look vulnerable going into SummerSlam, I think it's important that in the end he proves that he was right in what he said and he beats Solo on his own and proves that Solo Sikoa is not ready. Then you have Roman come out. Then you have his music hit at some point after the match, and everybody loses their minds. Everybody on this show is going to be playing second fiddle to Roman Reigns when he comes back. That's just the reality of the situation, and there's nothing that can be done about that. This man has been missing now for a few months. We haven't seen him. There's just no getting around it. That includes Cody Rhodes. That includes the WWE champion. Everybody is going to be secondary. Everybody is going to feel secondary to Roman Reigns when he comes back. And it's going to be very interesting because we're going to have two super popular babyfaces, very strong babyfaces, that are going to be working on the same show. Right? They're not separating them. They're both on SmackDown. And how they coexist on the same brand, especially if they're not directly working together, is going to be an interesting story in itself to follow. It's a good problem for WWE to have. You know, I'm sure Paul Levesque is licking his lips like, oh, we've got two really strong baby faces here. I can work with this. So it's not a bad problem for them to have. But because Roman has been gone and because everybody has been chanting his name every single week, we want Roman, we want Roman. He's just, you know, when he does finally come back, again, it's going to blow the roof off the place. They have been building this man up so strong for 4 years. In August, next month, it's going to be 4 years since he came back with Paul Heyman at his side. And so over those 4 years, he was the champion for virtually all of it. And they created a special attraction. That's what he is now. He's no longer just another member on the roster. He feels like a special attraction. He does not appear all the time, right? It's like Brock Lesnar. That's what it is. What they had in Brock Lesnar all those years is what they now will have going forward in Roman Reigns. They're going to have a mega overstar who is not going to be on the show every single week, who's not going to wrestle, honestly, that many matches in the course of an entire year. They'll have him for a select number of dates, a select number of matches. And when Brock was around, there was just a different aura when he would come out. When his music would hit and when he had a match, it just felt different. It didn't feel like just another match on the show. And Roman is going to have a lot of that aura when he comes back. When they hit that music and he comes out for a promo or something, right? People are going to sit up and they're going to pay attention. They're going to want to see him. And that's what they've really created now in Roman Reigns. Because of that, everybody else on the show, it's kind of like Roman and then everybody else. And I feel like that's what we're going to end up having here. Kind of like The Rock, in a way, right? The Rock is a much bigger star than Roman Reigns, but you know when The Rock is around because the show just has a different vibe to it. And The Rock is The Rock. I mean, he's larger than life. He sucks up all the oxygen in the room when he's there. But I think they're well on their way to creating something like that now in Roman Reigns. What they need to do with Cody to make sure that he doesn't sort of get overwhelmed by all this and lost in the shuffle and I mean, he's going to take a backseat to Roman, but what they need to do is just come up with some compelling stories for him. And it's like I said earlier, I think the most compelling story that you could do right now on SmackDown with Cody Rhodes really doesn't have anything to do with the bloodline or a rematch with Roman or anything like that. It's Randy Orton. Randy is another super popular babyface right now. Maybe he'll go heel, but there's a history there between Cody and Randy that goes back many years. Tonight, he called him my brother, right? He's my brother. There's a history there. You can tap into that. And it's a fresh match that we have not seen before. Maybe they did it back in 2010 on TV once, and I don't remember it. But for all intents and purposes, the match has never happened before. That's what I think they need to do. And that's why I say bad blood could be the first time we see Cody and Randy in the ring together here this year. Because I don't know about Berlin, and then right now there's no other PLE between Berlin and Bad Blood on October 5th. But I think that's where we're headed, because I just don't see what other story there would be on SmackDown that would really be compelling for Cody Rhodes to be involved in. And they just have to do everything in their power to make sure that, okay, the bloodline stuff may take that top spot, that may be where the focus is, but man, we want people to be invested in whatever your champion is doing so that Cody doesn't end up in the position that Chris Jericho was in when he became the undisputed champion. I could think of another undisputed champion who certainly didn't feel like one, and you don't want to do that to Cody. As far as the show itself tonight, I mean, the show was okay. It wasn't great. You know, honestly, it just feels to me now like they're just biding time to get to SummerSlam. We're just kind of in wait mode now as we try to count down the days until we get to August 3rd, and that's what it feels like. The rest of the show was pretty dull. Next week, they're having a number one contenders gauntlet match to find opponents for DIY and their tag team titles. We've got the Street Profits. We've got Pretty Deadly. We've got Angel and Humberto, the Good Brothers, Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews, and yes, we have Tama Tonga, and we have Tonga Loa, as predicted. Soon as DIY won those titles, what did I say? They won the titles so that the bloodline could take the titles off of them, and I'm standing by that. The fact that they're in this gauntlet, I mean, I just can't imagine that they're going to have fucking Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews win the gauntlet, or the Street Profits. I mean, honestly, at this point, it's like, eh. I'm not even all that into the Street Profits anymore. I mean, can you blame me? Is there a reason why I should be? Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa before long are going to win those tag team titles, and they're the ones who are going to take those titles, I do predict, from Ciampa and Gargano. LA Knight is going to be taking on Santos Escobar next week, and Tiffany Stratton teams with Nia Jax to take on Bayley and Meechan. I will not be here next Friday because I will be over in Queens for the House of Glory show, where we have the AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland, coming in. And by speaking of the Bloodline, we have a member of the Bloodline on that show as well. We've got Zella Fatu coming in to challenge for the HOG World title. So that's where I'll be next Friday. Just so you know, there will be no SmackDown post show next week. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown for July the 19th? 50% thumbs up for tonight's show. 27.7% thumbs in the middle. And you guys have given this show 21.8% thumbs down score. So go ahead and vote at Solomonster on X is where you can cash your vote. And the Juliet, thank you for the $10. Get those super chats on and I'm going to read through them right now. Prince Vegeta, 95. Guys like LA Knight and Jey Uso share some things in common. Both are insanely over with one word catchphrases and they win matches, but always come up short in the ones that matter. Happy Friday. It does feel that way, doesn't it? I mean, Jey Uso is super over. And still has not won that singles title he promised that he would win. He didn't win Money in the Bank. LA Knight, I've been waiting for LA Knight to win this US title for quite some time now. And maybe it happens at SummerSlam. If it doesn't happen at SummerSlam, it's going to happen no matter what. So it's just a matter of time. But that is a good point. There is a similarity there. Smoking dried chicken without flavor says SmackDown tonight was okay. It was not terrible. DEH Sires, hate this SummerSlam card. Triple H should have planned it out better and done the Roman return at MSG. And Jacob debuts sooner. Build Orton and Cody feels like Fastlane. Also says, we went from, hypothetically, Roman Solo, Cody and Randy, Seth and Gunther, Punk and Drew, and Damian and Finn, to this, because Triple H likes to drag everything out. Well, to be fair, you created that in your mind. Like, Damian and Finn is going to happen, but I don't know that I necessarily expected it to happen at SummerSlam. See, you just laid out every big match that they have been building to. They were never going to give away every big match that they've been building to on the same show. Especially the way they keep these shows tight. We'll be lucky if we have more than six matches. Did you honestly think that the entire card was going to look like that? You didn't even mention a single women's match in that. I mean, how many matches do you think Triple H is going to put on that show? 10? This is not Tony Khan. He doesn't like having that many matches on the show to begin with. So I do think part of the problem here is, while I agree that the card is definitely weaker than it could have been, I mean, you can't realistically expect that every single one of those matches that you just laid out was actually going to take place at SummerSlam. I mean, they've got to save some of that shit for their other PLEs. I mean, they have more shows coming up. They have another show coming up in August. They have two of them in August. So you got to save some of that stuff. You can't give it all away on the same show. Prince Vegeta says, is it bad that I don't and probably will never see Solo as a main event threat? Why not? Am I not threatening enough for you? You don't think I can't be a main event threat? Why not? I take offense to that. It says, before his big push and his win over Cody, he lost like 50 matches. Well, he did, but most of those, in fairness, were house show matches, and they never really acknowledged the fact that he had any kind of a losing streak on the show. So to them, it's like it never happened. We know, right? We know all the losses. We remember all the losses that he took, but they don't care. And look, someone like Solo Sikoa is going to be protected because of the family that he is a part of, right? He's going to be taken care of. That's just the way it is. That's the beauty of being part of the Bloodline. You know you're going to be taken care of. Venom Kitetsu with the $25 took a rare Friday off playing WrestleMania 2000 while I hang for the stream. Last time I was here, Ted Cruz made an appearance. Always enjoy these once every couple of months moments. I can watch the stream in real time. That's right. There was no Cruz del Toro. There was no Ted Cruz on the show tonight, thank God. Venom, thank you for the $25. Jerome Eugenio. WWE Logic says it's okay to beat the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. You know, I was thinking that same thing tonight. That's how it's always been. Their logic is, well, they've got the briefcase, so we can just beat them over and over and over again, which I always thought was very stupid. Braun Braun, I'm a security guard, and I hate wrestling security. You should hate wrestling security. God, they make you look like such a goober. I said it last week. I said, if I were an actual security guard, man, I would be offended by how I am portrayed on these wrestling shows. NWO Matt, Learning Tree wasn't affected by CloudStrike. Evidently not. Rodimus Prime with the $20 super chat. Buy, sell, or rent on who would win in a promo battle. Shane Douglas, Jake the Snake, or MJF. All very different promo styles. So it's kind of weird because Jake's style is very different than MJF's. MJF is a lot more loud and brash. Jake is not loud and brash. His promo style was the opposite of that. I think it would be a great battle. I mean, Shane Douglas is a good promo too, but I'm not even considering him here. It's either Jake or MJF. It's either Jake or MJF. Honestly, I'm going to probably go MJF on this one. I think if you're having a head-to-head promo battle, you got to go with MJF. But I think if you're talking about just kind of cutting individualized promos or like just looking into the camera, let's say in the back or something like a backstage interview, I think I'd go Jake. So, but in this case, I'm going to go buy on MJF. I'm going to rent on Jake. I'm going to sell on Shane. All great promos, though. Bo's Wrench, or Boz Wrench. Should we be worried about Bruce Pritchard still being there? He's a known Vince yes man, and he's seen sitting next to Triple H like he is his right-hand man. Well, it's because Triple H likes Bruce, and I don't know. I don't know what Bruce knows or didn't know. Perhaps we'll find out one day, because this story is far from over, but evidently WWE and TKO, they don't think it's a risk, and so he's still there. I mean, he got called out to the ring by Cody Rhodes at the end of WrestleMania 40. So, they don't have any fears or concerns about him. He's not accused of anything. Does he still communicate with Vince on a personal level? Do they still talk? Are they still friends? Maybe. But again, that's for them to worry about. And if something comes out one day, then that's something they'll have to deal with. Donnie Yasu, it's a shame that we can't get Edge against Cena for the retirement tour. Yep. That will not be happening. David Thiering dropped a $50 Gunthar bomb. I already read David's message earlier. I couldn't even wait. I had to read it. But David, I will say thank you. Thank you very much for that. Toby F. Next week is on tape, according to reports. Toby's still living in the 1980s and 1990s. I love it. Talking about tape. They got the, it was like the Wyatt Six, right? They got the VHS tapes that they're delivering every single week. Toby, I'm pretty sure that everything will be digitized for next week. But yes, SmackDown is being taped tonight. So next week's show will not be airing live. Kells with his first of many learning trees. Cody has been getting his ass whooped by the Samoans since his return. He really has. That's true. Really, since he came back, I guess. Kells again with a couple more says, does Tiffy get a new briefcase? I mean, just based on what they did tonight, I would think so, but I don't know. I still feel like she's going to cash in at SummerSlam, so it would be kind of a waste. Lakers Pats 1, Nash, Swerve, Bloodlines merge into Bloodline Elite. Oh, God. It's the last thing we need. Then they can splinter off. We have Bloodline A and Bloodline B, one on Raw, one on SmackDown. Well, we're going to get two bloodlines, but they're not going to be merging together. They're going to be on opposing sides. And they'll be on the same show. Oofman Entertainment, we did not bully you. You teased us. Never tease your audience, Booker Man. That's true. I guess I did tease you about the Rollins thing. But you got it out of me, right? You got it out of me, and we broke some news here on the stream. So it all worked out in the end. NWO Matt, we didn't bully the Learning Tree. Would never bully. You told us of your own accord. Hisco 95, SmackDown has been dreadful to watch these past few weeks, and if next week's episode is taped, I bet it's going to be a boring one as well. I hope it is, because I'm not going to be here. The last thing I want is something big to happen on the show next week if I'm not here to cover it. Says, I can't wait for SummerSlam, so we move on to Roman versus Solo and Cody versus Randy. Kells, any chance that Liv beats Rhea at SummerSlam? Maybe Dom turns and respect the tree. Kells, where have you been, man? I've been saying for weeks that Liv Morgan is not going to lose and should not lose to Rhea Ripley at SummerSlam. You can't kill this at SummerSlam. You've got to keep it going. I think there's a very good chance that Liv is at least going to keep her title. Maybe she loses on a DQ or something, but I think that Liv, don't hold me to this yet. I'm not doing my predictions yet, but I'm thinking that Liv is going to retain. Darth Panic, the Learning Tree is inevitable. JR is back. Says, oh, what the hell? Buy or sell? Urinating Tree. Tree of Gondor. Learning Tree. Urinating Tree? The fuck is that? I don't know what the Tree of Gondor is. I that sounds like a sexually transmitted thing. I've urinated on a tree before, so I mean, I guess I'll buy on that. I don't know what the Tree of Gondor is, so I'm kind of taking a risk here, but I will, I'll rent on that one, and I will sell the Learning Tree. Harrison Soep. Forget the music being garbage. The downfall of the SummerSlam logo needs to be studied. Keep it up with the great work. I do miss the OG SummerSlam logo. There really has not been a SummerSlam logo that has beaten it. So I do miss the original one. And this new one that they've been using, which I think goes back to last year, right? What were they in Detroit last year? It's like a car kind of theme. I'm not a fan of that either. So I'm with you on that. Okay, so Urinating Tree is a YouTuber, a sports YouTuber. Why is he called Urinating Tree, though? And the Tree of Gondor is from Lord of the Rings. That sounded like it probably would be a Lord of the Rings thing. Yeah. I mean, I would love to know why the guy calls himself Urinating Tree. I mean, I assume he must have urinated on a tree at some point. Did he get arrested for it? Is that why? I don't know. The Juliet. Feel bad for all IT workers today. Don't feel too bad for them. I think they got paid very well. Thanks, CrowdStrike. What if AJ replaced one of the participants in the six-man title match at Slammiversary? It could happen. I'm expecting an AJ-style surprise cameo on the show, and unless he just comes out and makes an appearance, I'm not sure what else he would be doing, so you could be onto something. I think we're going to see him at Slammiversary. I saw Jordan Grace was teasing surprises on the show. I would not be surprised if we end up getting him at Slammiversary. Or hey, Drew McIntyre is suspended, right? He's a former TNA World Heavyweight Champion. I'm just saying. He's suspended. He has nowhere to go. Maybe he'll show up. Luke Soep. Gotta love the Solo Monster Vortex. Thanks, guys. Believe me, you would be much better off falling into my vortex than Chris Jericho's. Hisco 95. Say what you will about the Learning Tree. You have to admit it makes you a lot of money. I hope you had a good week and you are feeling better, Solo. I do appreciate that every learning tree is certainly in support of the stream, but by the time we are done, I feel like I've just come to the very edge of the mountain. I'm this close to falling off. David Thiering, as much as I am not a fan of the learning tree on AEW TV, I am loving this super chat. Three guarantees in life: death, taxes, and this learning tree super chat. We have gotten this more over than Jericho. Well, I will say that, yes, I have gotten this gimmick certainly more over than he has. I think that's fair to say. Chi-Town, 657 with the $23. Kosi, he means Cody. But that is kind of funny. Kosi versus Solo doesn't equal SummerSlam main event to me. Jacob Fatu is doing all the heavy lifting and is outshining everybody. I would pay to see Cody versus Jacob for the title. Yeah, but Jacob just debuted. So doing Jacob in the main event at SummerSlam when he debuted not even a month ago, you can't do that. I agree, though. I mean, he is outshining everybody, and it's exactly what I told you would happen months before he debuted. And WrestleVotes had that one report about people internally being concerned that he might overshadow or, you know, outshine Solo Sikoa. I said, yeah, no shit. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I feel like that's what we're seeing playing out before our very eyes every single week. But it's still too early to put him in a championship match. He hasn't even had a singles match yet on TV. You want to put him in the main event of SummerSlam? I mean, when you say that, don't you realize the absurdity of that? I mean, I'm a Jacob Fatu fan, but let's not get carried away here. Superman Bassfisher, love the monster. Good show tonight. Thank you, Superman. RB65. Perhaps the meaning of life was the learning trees that we have planted along the way. It's a very deep cut. Never really thought about it like that. Thank you, Arby. Josiah Ball, when do you think we get Ospreay versus Okada in AEW? I mean, the way Tony Khan is blowing through all these Will Ospreay matches, probably Grand Slam in September at Arthur Ashe. That'd be my guess. West Coast James, just contributing to your insanity. Thank you, James. CM3443 with the $9.99. I appreciate everything you do. Your streams have gotten me through a lot of tough days. Also, Jacob Fatu is the effing man. He has looked like a beast and added a lot of credibility to the new bloodline, in my opinion. He is, I'll tell you something right now. You take him out of this new bloodline, and boy, is this thing just completely devoid of anything worth a damn. He is almost single-handedly lifting this new bloodline to heights that without him they would simply not be able to achieve. If it was just Solo, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, it would not be the same. So, I agree with you that he has looked like a beast. They've booked him very well, very strongly so far. And he is a big part of why. If you are someone who feels now like this new bloodline has more credibility, it's because of Jacob Fatu. Aldis Dick is back. Domino should be the next WWE champion. You'll be happy to know that I took Deuce and Domino out of Be the Booker, so we don't have to see them anymore. Prince Vegeta 95, Nas Solo, you are main event threat. Remember when you jobbed to Moxley last year at All Out? Loved the show. That was actually a great match. That was a great match that I had with Moxley at All Out last year. David Thiering, Cloud Strike didn't take down the learning tree, but maybe Darby Allin and his flamethrower can. Time for the Hog Commissioner to pull some strings, perhaps. Have a good weekend. You know what? I kind of feel like at this point, my entrance music, I should change my entrance music for those rare occasions when I actually make an entrance in House of Glory. And the first thing you should hear is that high-pitched voice saying, I am the learning tree. And then I walk out and you hear, thanks, guys. But that would be gimmick infringement, I guess, right? I guess that doesn't really work. Boz Wrench, for me, with Bruce Pritchard still being there, I hope he treats the talent well, and I also don't want some of his Vince-like ideas to get through to Triple H. Well, it's been okay so far. Last word in creative lies, well, it lies with The Rock, but it lies with Triple H and not Bruce Pritchard, so I think we'll be okay. So far, so good. Spencer Dunnings, as Smokey the Solid Monster says, only you can prevent learning tree fires. I don't have my Smokey hat on. Who was the other, used to be commercials when I was younger. Was it Smokey the Bear? I feel like maybe there was another bear, but there was a dog too, McGruff. McGruff the Crime Dog. Who remembers McGruff the Crime Dog? Whatever happened to him? Well, I guess, I mean, by now, he's a fucking dog. He'd be like fucking 50 years old. I guess he's dead, right? I guess McGruff the dog died a long time ago, but am I the only one who remembers him? JR says, can learning trees count as likes? Nope. Those are thumbs, not trees. The Juliet, Jinder Mahal, made a surprise appearance at GCW. Good for him. His 90 days just expired this week. So now he's going to be getting out there more. You're going to be seeing more of Jinder Mahal now. Good for him. He could have a career resurgence on the independent scene. That's right. McGruff, take a bite out of crime. Yeah, I knew I wasn't the only one. Justin G, just helping you get to your Kent Brockman with a cuckoo bird coming out of your forehead with a technical difficulties banner. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Justin. Boney, Jericho for Hog when? Never. And JR says, are wrestling tables made from learning tree? It sure feels like it. It sure feels like it, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel that way? Thank you guys for all of the super chat love. There's Angry Ms. Girl. She's not very happy right now. I know one person at least out there who is seeing all these learning trees and has that expression on their face, and it warms my heart. It really does. Well, the likes goal has been reached. We're at 405 right now, so thank you all for the likes. I do appreciate it. And that means that right now, it is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
You guys did it. So now let's get into it. Again, Be the Booker has been revamped. Man, look how fast it's going. Faster than ever. Faster than a speeding bullet. It's time to be the booker. And we will begin with our tag teams. And we will begin with Bullet Club Gold. I will not call them by that other name because that other name is stupid. Jay White and Juice Robinson kicking us off here in Be the Booker, which is a great way to kick things off. I love it. I love it. It'll be Bullet Club Gold taking on the Street Profits. I think that would be a fun match. Two current tag teams right now, WWE versus AEW. I'm sure the fans would react perfectly rationally to that if there was ever a WWE versus AEW match. Right? Don't you think the fans would just react like normal, rational human beings? Wait until I talk about this MJF and Ospreay stuff and this cage match stuff on the show on Sunday. If you are one of these people who was bitching and moaning about that match this week, you might not want to tune in. All right, let's flip on over to women's Be the Booker. We're one for one so far. Yeah, that's right, Devin's right. A solid Forbidden Door match. Solid is a good word for it. All right, now on the women's... I don't know what that was. On the women's side, we began... I don't know what that was. Chelsea Green, who was on the show tonight, is kicking off Women's Be the Booker. Chelsea Green. It's going to be stepping into the ring with who? Who will her opponent be? It will be Chelsea. What the hell's going on here? Why am I getting a black screen? I may have to investigate this this video after, but it'll be Chelsea Green and Wendi Richter. See, now, if it was Toni Storm, if it was timeless Toni Storm and Wendi Richter, then that would have been perfect. Chelsea Green and Wendi Richter, though. I'm not giving that the belt. Can't do it. Can't do it. So there will be no clean sweep tonight, but now we've come to our main event. It all boils down to this. Our third and final encounter here. Fox. I love it. I love it. Yes, Fox has infiltrated Be the Booker. And they have blacked out the screen. You know, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. All right, we begin with the loose cannon. Brian Pillman. Kicking us off and Be the Booker. What a tragedy that he went to WWE in the shape that he was in. Had that Humvee wreck, and we couldn't get a healthy Brian Pillman doing this gimmick in WWE, like a healthy Pillman at that age. It's a damn shame. So many possibilities there that were never realized. Pillman against Shawn Michaels, Pillman against Steve Austin. I've always maintained that if Pillman was healthy and stayed in the company, because, I mean, there's always the chance that with Montreal, he would have requested his release. But had he stayed and had he been healthy, I've always maintained that Austin's first feud coming out of WrestleMania 14 for the title was not going to be Dude Love. It would have been Brian Pillman. And in fact, I think the two of them could have swapped the title back and forth. Well, let's see. Brian Pillman. Maybe we'll land on Steve Austin. Maybe. Brian Pillman, one-on-one. With the Brooklyn Brawler. The Brooklyn Brawler. In the main event with Brian Pillman. I don't think so. Well, look, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose with these Be the Booker main events. Tonight was not one of those nights. They can't all be winners. The good news is that as long as we hit our goal, we get to try again on Monday, which is the next time I will be live with you for the Raw post show. So we can always try again on Monday night. But we got some more messages here. We've got Cameron Spencer coming in with a $4.99. And Cameron says, did you see the clip of a man doing a destroyer to a guy off a second floor apartment building to the concrete ground? They both got seriously injured. No. The hell you say? I can't believe that. I look at it as, kind of nature taking its course. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I'm glad they're alive. At least they're alive. But you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I have no sympathy for people who do stupid shit like that. Uffman Entertainment. Had he lived, do you think Pillman would have been granted his release after Montreal? I don't, actually. The Bulldog was able to buy himself out of his own contract, but Owen wanted out. Vince said no. I think he offered him a new deal, so he got more money out of it. But Owen wanted his release, and he didn't get it. Bulldog wanted out. He got out. Anvil, I don't know what happened with Anvil. I don't know if Anvil requested his release or his contract just expired. He did a job to DX, I know, on the way out. I think that Pillman, now, you know, again, even in the state that he was in, where he was physically compromised, he was still, you know, he still had a lot to contribute, and I feel like they would have tried to hold on to him. So I'm going to say no, that they would have held him to his contract, but I mean, we'll never know for sure. It's a good question, though. It's a good thing to ponder. Had he lived? I'm certain that had he lived, he would have asked for his release. Like, he was very close with Brett. He was part of the Hart Foundation. I think he would have been very upset by what had happened. It's one of the reasons Rick Rude ended up in WCW. The next time you see me live will be Monday night after the Raw review. I will be live on Monday and Wednesday next week, not Friday. So again, I'll be back for SmackDown in 2 weeks because I'll be at the Hog Show next Friday. And you should be too, by the way. If you're local, tickets are still available. They're going quick, though. It's one of our biggest shows of the year. Swerve Strickland is coming back in. He's going to be wrestling Amazing Red. We've got Zilla Fatu making his debut and a bunch of other matches as well. So HOGWrestling.net is where you can snatch up some tickets. But I will be with you on Sunday for episode 871 of The Sound Off. So you'll get your usual weekly dose of The Sound Off there. David said, I think it's 28. Is that true? 28? Did we have 28 learning trees tonight? Matt says 27, so we have a discrepancy here. Matt says it was 27, and David says 28. So why don't we just split the difference? We'll say 27 and a half. We'll cut the tree in half, and we'll call it 27 and a half. How about that? Anyway, thanks for the love. You guys are awesome. Have yourselves a great weekend. And I will see you back here live on YouTube on Monday night for the Raw post show. Until then, thanks, guys.